Nowadays, we are not accustomed to thinking of literature in this kind of way. We are not even accustomed to thinking of poetry in this kind of way. Though once defined as the record of the best and happiest moments of the best and happiest minds, poetry seems to have become, in the hands of some recent practitioners of the art, the record of the worst and most depressing moments of the worst and most deeply disturbed minds. In other words, literature, including poetry, nowadays tends to be clinical. It is a record of symptoms, the symptoms of disease. So much is this the case that we often find it difficult to think of literature, and indeed the arts in general, in any other way. We find it difficult to think of literature in terms of McHale's definition, especially when this is commented on from a Buddhist point of view, and still more difficult to understand what is meant by that fuller and richer content with which, it is claimed, the concept of literature becomes endowed when we approach Buddhist canonical literature as literature. Let me therefore read you a section from Lu Qi's Rhyme Prose Essay on Literature. I had intended to read this a little later on, when the definitions of literature had all been dealt with, but perhaps I had better read it now and deal with the two remaining definitions afterwards. Lu Qi was a Chinese writer who lived from 261 to 303 CE. His essay is in 11 sections, and I'm going to read the fourth section, entitled The Joy of Writing. Since writing here means nothing less than the creation of literature, what Lu Qi has to say about the joy of writing will at the same time show us in what kind of way he thinks of literature. Writing is in itself a joy. Yet saints and sages have long since held it in awe. For it is being, created by tasking the great void. And 'tis sound wrung out of profound silence. In a sheet of paper is contained the infinite, and evolved from an inch-sized heart an endless panorama. The words, as they expand, become all evocative. The thought, still further pursued, will run the deeper, till flowers in full blossom exhale all-pervading fragrance, and tender boughs, their saps running, grow to a whole jungle of splendor. Bright winds spread luminous wings. Quick breezes soar from the earth, and nimbus-like amidst all of these rises the glory of the literary world. Writing is being created by tasking the great void. It is hardly necessary for me to tell you that nowadays we do not usually think of writing in this kind of way. And perhaps not everybody did, even in 4th and 5th century China. Lu Qi's conception of the writer, especially the poet, and of the use of literature, is on a level with his conception of writing. The first section of his essay, entitled The Motive, opens with the ringing declaration, erect in the central realm, the poet views the expanse of the whole universe, and in tomes of ancient wisdom, his spirit rejoices and finds nurture. The poet views the expanse of the whole universe. This is surely reminiscent of Plato's famous definition of the philosopher as the spectator of all time and all existence, though it will be noticed that the poet's spirit rejoices and finds nurture in tomes of ancient wisdom. Thus, the poet is not simply an untutored child of nature. He is also deeply versed in traditional philosophy. As for Lucci's conception of the use of literature, this is the subject of the concluding section of his essay. I was going to read only the first two lines, but it is so important and so evocative that I think I had better read it all. The use of literature lies in its conveyance of every truth. It expands the horizon to make space infinite and serves as a bridge that spans a myriad years. It maps all roads and paths for posterity and mirrors the images of worthy ancients. That the tottering edifices of the sage kings of antiquity may be reared again, and their admonishing voices, wind-borne since of yore, may resume full expression. No regions are too remote, but it pervades. No truth too subtle to be woven into its vast web. Like mist and rain, it permeates and nourishes and manifests all the powers of transformation in which gods and spirits share. Virtue it makes endure and radiate on brass and stone and resound in an eternal stream of melodies ever renewed on pipes and strings. No doubt there is much that could be said on the conception of literature that emerges from these quotations from Lu Qi's remarkable essay, but any commentary must be reserved for some future occasion. For the present, I am concerned with the section entitled The Joy of Writing and the two other passages I have read, only to the extent that they give us a general idea of what is actually meant by the concept of literature having a fuller and richer content. In Lu Qi's own words, I am concerned with them only to the extent that they give us a glimpse of the glory of the literary world. The glory of the literary world. Let me then now proceed straight to the two remaining definitions.